Hello everybody and welcome back to Describe Your Kill, episode 27. Now, please everyone, be hushed, be respectful. We are all in mourning for the deep loss of Karen Bordello. And grief, as we all know, affects us in different ways. I myself am getting over the worst cold I've had in a long, long time. And our poor GM, Craig, has completely lost his voice. There is a sickness that seems to be going through all of us at the minute on the podcast. We've been a bunch of sick dicks. So we're very grateful that we were able to get the episode together in time. Craig has really persevered through his sick bed to be able to get it done. And we hope you enjoy today's episode, Mum's the Word.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Describe Your Kill.
Trying to
Are
keep
you booing
them
there, Chris.
That's wooing.
That's his wife.
Boo. Saying boo words.
Trying to keep the tone at a slightly more gentle, reserved level this evening, because of course last week was quite the finale. Chris, dare I ask how you're feeling about tonight's session?
Shocked and appalled. No, very. What's the melancholy? Is that the word?
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling.
I've received your letter to HR. Unfortunately, that just comes straight to me. So.
But have you fired Matt as HR manager?
No, PR. Yes, I'm PR.
Oh, you're PR.
Yeah. That's PR. Yeah. Yeah, no, I do the HR around here.
Yes, unfortunately for you all, I'm HR manager.
I was deemed too nice.
I was playing a game. I was GMing a game with some of my friends, and I have found out there was a ritual, but I'll keep that under my hat.
I can tell you now, if you're going to try and resurrect Karen, that's not going to be happening.
For absolutely. Us, redeemed her soul is ready to move on.
Turns out Karen is Farazma.
Oh no.
Imagine that from Paizo. Plot twist.
Farazma Bordello.
I've been fucked up here like Karen's tits.
No!
Hero point for Wilhelm. We're talking about Karen's tits.
Oh, oh my god, yes.
We're trying to keep it gentle. Oh god.
May she rest in peace.
Yeah. Rest in pieces, maybe. Oh. Chris, how are you feeling? You feeling okay? Ready to take on tonight's session?
Yes, I will be fine.
Okay.
I'll be fine.
Anyone else? Tears there, man.
I think what was...
There may well be tears.
It was the high jubilations of the theatre scene and then ending with something quite traumatic for everyone. Thank you, Jason. So how about, boys, we, without further ado, we get straight into it.
Oh, indeed.
Yes.
So the end of last session. We're in the sixth portal of Harrow Heart. This one, of course, has led to the theatre and the theatre card located within Absalom. You step through, you meet Karen Bordello, the Squibbling Squibs. That was their name the entire way through last week's episode. They were passed out drunk, and you step in to perform for the local children. Lupin nearly kills one with a coin to the head. Karen thanks you, organises a dinner in the banquet hall. You did do a little bit of shopping and a little bit of a healing to get rid of Kimon's naga, glutinous rice, Zhangshi thing that he had. And of course, we find ourselves in the banquet hall where Karen is talking to you. The purpose of your visit, the theatre card, gets revealed, and the card that Karen used to have had transformed very close in timeline to when Malachi left the family home to go on his own adventure and meet you at three moves ahead, all of those days and weeks ago. So let us load into the map and find some suitable music.
You've already put the skull on her face.
Literally my mum's skull.
Can you take a screenshot, please, Matt?
Yes.
Make sure we get the full shit. Make sure you get the turkey in there.
I was going to say, make sure you get Malachi in there, but
That's I will fine. Zoom out. I have had to zoom out so I can get the turkey in. It's at the other end of the table.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Oh, God.
There we are.
So as Malachi stood to take the theatre card from Karen's hand, Karen also stood and was about to hand it over. And as she did, this crimson wound appeared on her neck, killing her near instantly. We're going to say instant. We won't drag out her pain. Karen falls down dead, and from behind her, you all heard the eerie, high-pitched laughter. And that is where we begin tonight's session. Karen, blood pouring from the wound on her neck, falls to the table, dead.
Malachi is about 5 feet away. He rushes in to Karen, to his mum, and lets out an almighty scream. Mum! Mum! What? Who did this? Who did this? And like, kind of is just totally inconsolable. And as Aaron steps up, you feel a force pushing you back, and I need you, anybody who's in a 5 foot range of me, to make a fortitude save, please.
Okay, so Aaron stands from the table, his chair goes flying backwards, and he runs over instinctively to Karen, pulling out his healer's tools as he goes to his knees and is just trying to do something to try and staunch the bleeding. He feels this force coming off Malachi. I've just rolled a fortitude save. It's 36.
Yes, that is a pass.
Yeah, so Malachi, you feel this kinetic energy burst out of you. Aaron, you feel this wave, but you do manage to resist it and manage to stay in place. Wilhelm, you're just on the outskirts of that, but you probably feel the lasting remnants of that spell that bursts out of Malachi come towards you.
As Aaron has kind of one hand pressed to her throat, trying to staunch the bleeding. I mean, he can see in her eyes that they're just already glassy, and he reaches with his other hand, drops the healer's tools, and he just holds Malachi's, and he's like, I'm sorry, Malachi, what's happening?
Malachi feels that obviously Karen goes quite cold at that point. She's gone. Just leave it, Aaron.
I've got to do something. He tries to roll a medicine check. It's 24.
You can tell that she is way too far gone. The wound is too deep. She is not a level 12 adventurer like you guys. She's just a civilian, and she is very clearly dead.
Aaron looks up at Wilhelm and he says, "Who did it? I heard a voice. Did you hear it too?"
Malachi looking up at... Aaron looking up at Wilhelm now just realizes that Wilhelm has been shouting at him this whole time, and he now realizes that Wilhelm is yelling, your spell, invisibility, where is she? Tell me now. As he's standing there, rapier drawn, looking around frantically, not having any idea where to look for that invisible creature.
So Aaron, hearing you say that, immediately casts true seeing. This spell I've cast previously, and it allows me to see things within 60 feet as they actually are. So the GM will roll a secret counteract check against any illusion in the area, but only for the purposes of determining whether I can see through it.
All right, I shall roll that secret check now. Aaron, you cast the spell, but you feel that you certainly cannot see anything in the room.
And you can see Aaron casting this magic, so he's clearly trying to detect something, and he just says, I can't see anything. It might still be here, though.
Concentrate harder, Aaron.
I'm trying. Can I just try and roll a perception check just to do a seek action, just looking off to the left corner of the room where there's a door?
Everybody roll secret perception checks, please. Maybe not Malachi, but can do if you want. And Lucan, I'll say that you're maybe doing a bit of scouting around, or even just in your periphery vision.
Malachi is too busy laying Karen on the floor.
Okay. You all have a cursory scan around the room, rolling perception, but none of you sense any kind of invisible creature or anything untoward within the room. What's Lupin doing?
As soon as Lupin heard the voice, which he would have obviously recognised from when it spoke to Wilhelm back in the forge?
Yes, the Rippenbarding.
is Lupin immediately started rooting through his pockets, looking for a spell, or looking for a scroll, should I say. And he has produced a scroll of glitter dust, which he's been preparing every single day since the creature.
Okay.
Since the creature came along. So I have to pick a 10-foot burst. I don't think Lupin would expect it to still be near Karen. I think he would probably be more likely to cast it near the door. Is there only one way in or out here, it looks like?
There is a door to the south, although it is currently closed.
Okay, so the creature wouldn't have been able to, we can reasonably assume, wouldn't have been able to leave through that door. We don't know that it's incorporeal. There are no other open doors or windows or anything?
No, you're in a kind of stone room, and there are several windows around the place, but they are all kind of more decorative windows, and they are about 20 feet off the ground. But no, there's no other entrance or exit from this room.
So Lupin he'll have grabbed the scroll. He'll have sort of looked up, obviously seen the state of Malachi's mother, and will have sort of held the scroll up, looking to read, and then with realization will have sort of taken that information in and realized that with no idea where this creature is, it's not actually going to help. And he sort of takes a breath and sort of somewhat resignedly lowers the scroll. Malachi, I'm so sorry.
Malachi, as you're laying Karen down on the floor, you notice that the theatre card that was in her hand has slipped into a pool of blood that is now surrounding her and you and Aaron. Lupin, as you're putting the scroll away, the door to the south does open, but opens inwards, and there is a waitress who is bringing some food out to the table. She takes one look at the scene, screams in terror, slams the door shut, and runs away screaming.
The scream, I think, snaps Lupin sort of back into reality a little bit. I think snaps the rational side of him back in, and he realizes what's happened and what's likely about to happen. Gentlemen, we need to leave now.
Malachi doesn't hear you.
Everybody roll perception checks.
Oh, 21.
Oh dear, that's a natural 3. 24.
32.
38 for Malachi.
Wilhelm, Malachi, even in your state of mourning, you clearly hear that the building that you are in seems to have become more active. You may hear more footsteps and the sounds of shouting coming from within.
Lupin grabs the paladin card from his pocket and begins focusing on it.
Wilhelm keeps shouting at Aaron, "Where the fuck is it? Where is it?"
I can't see it. I'm sorry. I think it's gone. We've got to get Malachi out of here. Please, Wilhelm, help me.
And Aaron puts his arm around Malachi. And bearing in mind, Malachi is a giant. He's trying to he's trying to just lift him and pull him away from Karen.
I'm sorry. Please, we've got to go, Malachi.
And he casts Mage Hand and just lifts the theatre card out of the pool of blood and just puts it into his pocket.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just looks around and realizes that Aaron is right, and as he puts his rapier away, he just shouts "fuck" and punches into the wall, and then helps Aaron bring Malachi toward Lupin and the soon to be portal.
Malachi resists.
You're there on the floor with Karen. Aaron is trying to pull at you. Wilhelm is then coming over to help and try and get you towards it. Lupin, you spend the necessary minute doing so. You then start hearing the sounds of whistles and footsteps from outside of the room, which lead out to the street. But there in front of you opens the portal back to Harrow Heart.
Gentlemen, we leave here or we prepare to stay here for the next 10 years.
Aaron says to Malachi, "We can bring her with us. We can bring her with us to Harrow Heart. Wilhelm, help me get Malachi through. We can quickly bring her body. We can't leave her here."
Malachi does hear that, Aaron, and does snaps out a little bit of it and goes, okay, and picks up Karen into his gangly arms and starts to walk towards the portal.
Wilhelm, do you follow?
Yeah, Wilhelm just tries to lift a bit of the weight there for Malachi, who is barely holding himself together, and says, right, good, big steps. And he starts pulling Malachi faster toward the portal and drags the two others kind of with them as he starts gaining more tempo.
So Wilhelm, Aeron, Malachi holding Karen's body manage to get through the portal. Lupin, I kind of imagine you standing there keeping it open for them. You step through the portal and back into Harrow Heart. As you turn and look behind you, the portal closes, and for a brief second you see the door from that room burst open and the Absalom guard were beginning to enter. But you have managed to escape into Harrow Heart.
Okay.
I had to bite back a hell of a joke.
Did you? Go on.
When Malachi was struggling to pick up Karen, I was going to say, she's not heavy, she's my mother. It's really good, but I really can't. This isn't that moment.
I thought you were about to spray glitter all over him, to be honest.
I did also thought it's not really that.
You can just imagine as the portal is closing, Lupin's hand just appears and throws it at the guards, like, ta-da.
Yeah.
On my next trick, I will make this dead body disappear. Yeah.
The fabulous slasher.
So, gentlemen, you do find yourselves back in the familiar setting of Harrow Heart, this time in a much more somber environment. Malachi, the body of your mother is still in your arms.
Is there anyone that can help?
Sorry. Malachi, she's I think she's gone.
Him, an almighty shout from his booming voice. Mother! And I think she'd want to be properly buried somewhere. She was always wanting me to do my best. I need to do the best for her.
And Aeron pulls from his pocket the blood-stained theatre card, and he just brushes it on his robes, and he holds it to Malachi's chest, and he says, she said that you were destined for great things, Malachi. And she wasn't wrong. Look at where you've brought her. Look at this amazing place. This is our home, and it will be hers now. And he just places Malachi's hand against his own chest, so he's clasping on to the theatre card, and he leaves it in Malachi's hand.
Malachi drops to his knees and looks at the card. I didn't really believe in all this Harrow stuff, but my mum paid the ultimate price. And now I am too. Even though she only met you for a bit, she clearly saw that you were good people. And as he looks into the theatre card, gets his little notebook out with all his songs in and his cards, pops it in there. I'll find out what happens later with this. It's not the time right now.
But you are desperate to know.
Can you roll a skill check while you're mourning, please?
I seriously thought, Chris, you were going to say, can I epitomise it quickly first?
Who wants it? Nope.
Lupin, I think this one's for you.
Oh, God.
Maybe we can ask Milton where we can lay her.
At that moment, Milton does come into the Grand Hall and walks over to you, Malachi, and says, Sire, I am sorry for your loss. We do have burial chambers here. We can prepare your mother if you would like us to do so. The servants would see to it that she was well looked after in preparation of whatever funeral arrangements you wish to make. We are capable of casting gentle repose, and she would be treated with dignity and honour if you would like us to handle that for you.
Yeah, I think I should play at the funeral, though. After all,
there's
I think
no
that's what
need,
she wanted.
Sire,
wanted.
We have plenty of bards if you don't feel up to it.
Good plenty of
no, but I am the bard.
And that will be 4,000 gold, sire.
what, for me to play?
No, for the future. Yeah,
I'm just imagining.
I have to pay you to play.
I'm just imagining all the denizens of Rohar, Geraldo coming down in a black veil. The rabbit prince, like, hopping down the aisle, like, wiping his ear.
That's a good image. That's some fan art, that is. Well, sire, let me call a couple of assistants and we shall take your mother into the parlour.
Thank you.
And he does so, comes back, and a couple more of the residents of Harrowheart, the servants, they gently pick up Karen and take her through a door out of the grand hall and out of sight. Of course, a few spots of blood still on the carpet. Milton looks at them and then walks away.
I'll have to fucking clean that one later.
I was trying to keep it unrestrained, yeah. Kimona.
You guys, I think Milton might be a vampire.
I think he might just be fucking tired.
So you find yourselves in the Grand Hall once again. Of course, Malachi in the throes of grief. Karen's body has been removed, and you can trust that Milton and the servants of Harrowheart will be treating her with dignity and looking after her. Now, you look to the northern wall, and of course, when you first entered Harrowheart, you had 6 portals, each lit, each under one of the suits from a Harrow deck. But now, as you stand in the Grand Hall, all of those portals are unlit. What do you do?
How does Harrowheart look now? Now that we've finished all of the portals that are on the northern wall?
Similar to when you last came back, not reflected on the map, but again, a little bit cleaner, a little bit tidier. You wouldn't say it was anything drastic. Each time it seems that you take a card or reclaim a card, it does improve slightly. We're talking degrees of improvement, not jumps, if you like.
Okay.
And what time are we?
It's hard to say exactly, but in your bodies, you're going to feel that it's probably afternoon time, something like that.
Malachi will have tears in his eyes, and he will just be sort of zoned out, kind of looking over to where Milton and the servants had dragged Karen's body. All the memories, little things coming and going, not communicating anything, it's just all in his head.
Okay.
Guess it's hard to know what to do in this situation. Kind of feels like when a real crisis does happen and everything just kind of stops, doesn't it? And this should have been a moment to celebrate because we've just finished all of the portals.
Malachi, if no one else is doing anything, kind of zombies off to his room. He sits on his bed, still tears in his eyes. He gets his book out, slumped over it, and flicks through some of his songs and his memories. And he gets to the theatre card and looks deep into it and would like to know what it does.
Just to give you the flavour text, the theatre represents prophecy and how prophets can't change the unfolding pageantry of fate. As long as you have the theatre invested, and as long as you are not already doomed, when you would gain the doomed condition, you attempt DC 10 flat check, and on a success, you do not gain the doomed condition.
Very good.
That's his passive. It is the neutral good card from the suit of crowns, of course. Once per hour, you are able to, as a reaction, attempt to counteract a misfortune effect before it affects you, and has a counteract level equal to your level divided by 2, rounded up, and a counteract modifier of your class DC minus 10. So in effect, once per hour, if something targets you with a misfortune effect, you as a free reaction can attempt to counteract it.
Very good.
It's come up a few times.
Nice.
And Malachi, as you are sitting there and you feel this wave of grief and loss wash over you, looking at a card which in some ways is so familiar to you, having grown up with the card in your household, but then seeing this new version, the shiny version from the deck of destiny, you feel the card's epitome almost begin to infuse within you. And although you can't see what happens, the remaining PCs, who I'm going to say are probably still in the grand hall, maybe just talking about next steps, what to do, that kind of thing. You hear some commotion coming out from the south doors of the grand hall. You see within the village surrounding Harrowheart, a new building immediately begin to manifest. And Malachar, you would know that the theatre card has manifested a new resplendent theatre within the village itself. Within this theatre, and you'll all know this, every evening a talented troupe of actors puts on a new play that, with the PC's permission, recounts a previous set of encounters they experienced. A PC who attends one of these two-hour productions benefits from the troupe's uncanny ability to recreate their exploits and receives a +2 item bonus to recall knowledge about topics associated with these encounters.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
That's
so very you're telling me if we went to the theatre right now, the next 2 hours of recording...
Oh, no. Would be a blow-for-blow recount of our Sedisarax fight.
Yes.
No, I was thinking we would do the dining scene from the banquet hall.
Yeah.
You could take Malachi.
Just another replay just tape him to the chair. Say,
oh, this is great. We could just do this, replay last week's episode, and we all get a week off, boys.
Craig just hits play. Yeah, like, exactly. Job done.
Malachi gets the Clockwork Orange treatment.
Yeah, I'll just say Clockwork Orange.
Oh, no, just over and over again.
Oh, God.
But a very cool little card. So I will now transition the scene from Malachi deep within his thoughts from his bedroom over to the remaining three PCs in the Hall of Harrowheart.
Do you feel any different now that the portals have been closed? Obviously, I just feel pretty numb after what's just happened, but I thought that I would feel, I don't know, different, complete somehow.
Lupin has been sitting there more or less since they arrived, just turning over the juggler card and the paladin card in his hands, sort of examining them, almost sort of trying to, I guess, will some kind of direction out of them, is to try and sort of understand what's next, what this has been for. Because ultimately, is we still don't fully understand anything about these cards other than we're drawn to them. So I think there's a degree of, I think, frustration from Lupin, and not just because he wants to understand it, but he's obviously now a fairly significant price has been paid, and it's not entirely clear what for. I think he very definitely almost wants to get away, not so much get away from the situation itself, but so he can start working on what the next steps are.
What about Wilhelm?
Yeah, he doesn't really respond. Aaron, you can kind of sense that there's something there that Wilhelm's now just... He seems conflicted in himself in a way. And after a bit of a pause and some silence after your question, he just kind of raises his head a bit. Sorry?
Don't worry. I was just saying I thought that we might have some answers, having just completed the portals. I've felt that we were all meant to be here in this place doing this quest. We were chosen for this, but maybe I was just naive. Naive as always.
Honestly, I don't know where to go from here.
Wilhelm and Aaron, probably not many words being spoken, this sense of maybe defeat, certainly a sense of loss. You both feel within your satchels or folders or whatever, wherever you're keeping your Harrow cards from the deck of destiny, Wilhelm and Aaron, you do feel one of the cards within your collection begin to just gently vibrate or thrum in your pocket. Wilhelm, if you were to look, yours would be the big sky. Aaron, yours would be the empty throne. Malachi, in your room, whilst you're still looking at the theatre card, or maybe you've put the book down, perhaps trying to get some rest, you would see that the snake bite for you is also gently vibrating.
These are cards that we haven't yet epitomised here in the Harrow Court. Perhaps we are meant to head to our respective regions and bring them, manifest them, just like we've done with the others.
Yes, it would perhaps be the sensible next step. Lord knows we don't have any other options right now. And Lupin sort of sighs.
What time is it now?
Let's say it's sort of evening, the sun's going down.
So maybe we should just, because if Malachi has kind of gone to his room and gone to bed, I think we should all maybe retire. And at least we, having the three of us just kind of said that to one another, I think we know that that's really our only port of call, isn't it, tomorrow? So
okay,
maybe we head to bed for now.
As the three of them kind of walk toward their respective rooms, he kind of looks over at Lupin and he says, I think I should go tell him about the woman.
And Lupin sort of watches as Aaron presumably carries on down the corridor, just holds off till he's confident he's out of earshot, and looks at Wilhelm. Yes, you heard it too. And he sort of breathes deeply. I'm not suggesting you believe this is the case, and I do not want you to think that I think this is the case. But for the avoidance of any and all doubt, this is not your fault. This is not your responsibility. We will all track whoever did this down, and we will ensure that their debt is repaid.
Does Wilhelm say anything?
Yeah. He kind of eyes Lupin a bit and realizes that he's 100% genuine. And says, yes, wish me luck. And he, instead of heading toward his room, heads toward Malachi's room.
Lupin, you head to bed?
Yeah, Lupin will watch Wilhelm go, and then we'll head into his room.
Come on, you approach the door of Malachi's bedroom.
Wilhelm would knock a bit louder in case Malachi is asleep.
Yeah.
May I come in?
Yeah, you can come in.
And as Wilhelm sort of opens the door, steps in.
And you see him on his bed. He's sort of lied back on it, just sort of twirling the theatre card around in a daze.
Wilhelm just stands there for a few seconds, visibly just kind of collecting himself and preparing himself for this conversation, and kind of takes a couple steps toward the bed, but stays at a few feet distance, just, you know, not to get too close. And he says, Malachi, I was going to say I owe you an apology, but to be honest, I'm not sure what I owe you. All I know is that I owe you something. I wasn't entirely honest with all of you so far. I haven't been lying, but I haven't been telling you everything either.
Well, grab a chair. Come a bit closer. It's fine.
Wilhelm nods and grabs a chair and sits down a couple of feet away from the bed. And he says, back at the forge, do you remember that invisible creature?
Yeah, well, I saw the fireballs, yeah.
I wouldn't even say believe, I know that that was the same creature that that did what happened to your mother today. And back at Stirrup and Barding, Lupin heard her say something that you and Aaron didn't hear, referring to, well, me. And that's all Lupin knows. And he's been assuring me that this is in no way connected to me, but he's wrong. I want you to know that what happened today would have been prevented were I not here with you. And I don't know how to articulate this. He kind of takes a couple small steps towards Malachi and says, let me just... And he takes off his glove, revealing a very bony-looking demonic sort of claw that's in dark grayish tone with long, ragged fingernails. And he says, this creature has been following me for years now. And I fucked up. I really fucked up. I didn't think it would concern you in any way. Apparently it does.
We will. I can't account for your actions. Whatever happened in the past, happened in the past. Even if it affects our future and the now. What happened, happened. It happened for a reason. It may well, if you've dealt with it earlier, something still might have happened. There is no... Everyone dies. You can't put blame on you. There is no blame here whatsoever. My mum believed in the tarot cards. She believed. And now we've got to... I've got to carry on in her name. And I need you to be with me, with Lupin, with Aaron. And we can help you get rid of whatever this is. You have helped me already start to be who I need to be. But this is not your fault. It's no one's fault. She wanted that card. She had that card. She believed. And now I've got to. Now you've got to. Even if you knew him by name, it by name, it's not your fault this happened.
I should have told you, regardless.
I don't know everything about you. You don't know anything about me, really. It is what it is. I still trust you. There's no doubt about that. How can I not trust a man who brings down a dragon?
Should that ever change, just give me the word and I'll be on my way.
Your destiny is to kill that thing.
Yours, especially your mother's, wasn't to face that thing. It was mine and mine alone. And I've pulled you into this and I shouldn't have. I apologize. And he pulls out of his little bag his very fancy looking tarot deck and pulls out the theater card, gives it to Malachi and says, I think it might be better for you to give this to her before saying your final goodbyes.
Card for a card. Makes sense.
Wilhelm nods, stands up and before going out says, never change, and goes to his room.
Very good, boys. Bravo. Hero point for you both. So you all bed down for the night, each probably deep within your own minds and thoughts of the day's proceedings. And you do awaken feeling as refreshed, maybe, as you can do, all at full hit points. And you make your way downstairs for breakfast. And as I said, the hall is looking slightly brighter. The doors are open. The sun is shining outside, and Malachi, probably as you've come down maybe a bit early, you do see this new theatre building that has manifested within the village outside. But it is a new day. The portals are still unlit. What do you do?
Good morning, Malachi. I hope you're feeling better. But did you by any chance have one of your cards start to act strangely last night?
Yeah, I did. I think it was the snake bite card that was vibrating.
Yes, you haven't yet epitomized that one. Mine was the empty throne. We haven't epitomized that either. And Wilhelm, did you have one as well?
Yes, my big sky was throbbing.
Very good.
Well, shall we go and have a peek outside and see if we can see if something else happens, if we can look into these different cards.
Yes. Where on the map do we need to go?
So if we head over to the Harrow Court map, you should all be able to access that from the top.
Oh.
Now, the Big Sky needs to be epitomized within the Harrow Court's desert area. The Empty Throne needs to be epitomized in the lake area. And the Snake Bite needs to be epitomized in the swamp area. And I have placed little pins in the map for you to be able to see which. There were three, a choice of three in each biome that you can epitomize the cards that you have. And remember, each hex is 12 miles across.
So it looks like if we sort of go to here.
Yep. So if we do desert, lake, and then swamp.
If we go over to the east side of the map, apologize to the listeners. If we go over to the east side of the map, there is a sort of a hex in the middle, a bit of desert that has all sorts.
So we can do like the a little loop and do the desert and then the lake and then the swamp.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
Okay.
Lupin, does that work for you as well?
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Excellent. Okay. So remember, each hex is, 12 miles across. In the farmlands biome, that's what you'd have to cross first. So I think we said in terms of miles per day, if the lowest speed is 25 feet, you can cover 20 miles in a day. So through the farmlands and the lake biomes, you can travel at regular speed. Lake obviously is water, so an issue there. The desert and forest biomes is difficult terrain, so it's a bit shorter. And mountain and swamps are greater difficult terrain, so take a bit longer to get through than that.
How many times have we used Clive?
Claude.
Claude. Sorry, not Clive. Claude.
Twice out of three times.
But that's a month, isn't it?
A month, yeah.
I think
we have one more use.
Probably not going to make a month.
You don't feel like you're in any immediate hurry either.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, he remains by foot then for 24 hours, so if we... Let's keep him, should we need him.
So you make your way out, heading in a northeasterly direction from the Harrow Heart. Matty, if you'd like to take a screenshot so we can show your progress. And it takes you about 5 or 6 hours. I imagine the mood might be slightly somber, but you do eventually end up in the desert biome. Wilhelm, you draw the Big Sky card as you reach the place that feels just right. And as you begin to epitomize the card simply by channeling its energy, you're now all far more familiar with that feeling. You notice that where there are rolling sand dunes, much like the surface of Arrakis, in front of you, the entire hex begins shifting. The sand that is there almost begins to melt into a field of reflective glass that mirrors the sky above. It goes completely flat. And although the temperature here during the day is extreme heat, you would instinctively know that at night it would be very, very cold. Let me show you the tile.
Yes.
Now that you have epitomized the Big Sky, you can use this location once per day, spend an hour meditating within either the extreme heat or the extreme cold. At the end of your hour, you can then select one curse that you're currently afflicted by, then attempt an athletics check against the curse's DC.
Oh, kind of like breaking free from the chains. Yeah, okay.
Yes, okay. Indeed.
Very good.
Literally, that's a barbarian wet dream, the idea of literally punching temperature.
Pretty cool, right?
Why remove your curse when you can just move it?
So you are going to now head over to the lake area. Is that right?
It is.
Yep.
So that is going to take you slightly longer. And even though the surface is mirrored, it is still sand. And it is going to take you longer to get across because it's difficult terrain. Now, do you want to edge along the farmland, more temperate region? Or do you want to endure the cold of the night? Bearing in mind, you will take 2d6 every 10 minutes.
I think we probably stay in the farmland.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
I think so.
I'm tempted to try it out.
I'll be fine. I've got access to the Endure Element spell, so I'll be all right. It's up to you guys. I'm all right, Jack.
Are there any harbours that we could maybe take a boat?
You'd still have to cross the desert, and because the time of day is drawing on, you're going to have to trek across difficult terrain in the heat.
Okay, we'll go to the farmland, shack up there overnight.
And I think what it's trying to tell us is that on this hex specifically, with the mirror effect, it's amplifying the heat or the cold. I can't see anything in the notes to say that going through the desert around that would cause those issues. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you camp up for the night, share some food, perhaps eat some of the berry tarts from Aeron's napling. What's it called? Halfling knapsack.
Halfling knapsack. You can't. They're mine.
No berry tarts for you. So the next day you begin your trudge again, going around the mirrored plane of glass over towards the lake area. And here you do see that it is this vast lake stretching for miles all around, encompassing you. You're now slightly north of the swamp region and still within the desert. Who has the empty throne?
Aeron pulls out the empty throne.
You have assigned it to one of the locations in the eastern area of Harrowcourt. It's all lake round there. And then behind the lake, of course, are these towering mountains. But at the edge of the desert, as the desert meets the water, you epitomize the empty throne. And before you, a small rocky island appears, atop which sits a mysterious empty throne.
Ooh.
The lake is a short swim away from the shore of the desert. If you can have a shore. I guess it would be a beach, right? If it's going into the water.
Yeah. It's a lakefront.
Get your towels down, little umbrella, perhaps.
Yeah.
But now that you
get
have...
Coconut water,
yep. There's some bloke selling socks and necklaces made of shells.
A lot of seagulls.
Yep.
Yeah. Somehow there's one sun lounger and the German's got a towel on it.
Good. You can have a hero point as well, Jason.
Casual racism.
So, now that you have epitomized the empty throne, this is a cool one. Quite expensive. So, a character who travels to this island, currently you'd have to swim or fly, you can perform a ritual of sacrifice before the empty throne in hopes of earning good fortune. To do so, you must offer valuables upon the throne that are worth 100 gold times your character level.
Ooh.
Expensive, right? You then spend 1 hour meditating before the throne on the nature of loss and then attempt a DC 30 diplomacy check. Regardless of the check's result, the offering vanishes forever and you cannot attempt a new offering until you gain an experience level and you're no longer affected by the current offering. If you critically succeed, once during the next month, you can re-roll a failed or critically failed saving throw as a fortune effect. If you succeed, it's the same, but you can only re-roll a failed saving throw. Failure, no benefit, you lose the money. Critical fail, the next time you critically succeed at a significant or important saving throw, as determined by the GM, so probably a death. So <Yeah. laughs> you've got to re-roll that saving throw with a misfortune effect.
Oof.
That seems
high risk, high reward.
That seems very expensive for a chance at one roll.
But it's DC 30 diplomacy. Did you say?
Yeah.
That's like one of those Doctor Strange moments, isn't it? Where it's just like there's only one chance,
nine or more.
How much gold?
Sometimes you need to take that chance.
100 times what level are you? 12?
1,200.
So 1,200.
1,200.
Yeah, 1,200 gold for a...
That's like almost my... That's my staff. And a little bit extra.
How would you feel about maybe shifting that to 10 times your level?
Yeah.
So what, 120?
Yeah, I think 100 is quite debilitating.
That's...
Yeah. That wipes me out already.
Especially you only use it once per level anyway.
That's an insane amount of money for a single reroll.
You're buying a month-long hero point, basically, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta think about a scroll of True Strike is like 40 gold.
Yeah.
That's also just a reroll on command.
Yeah.
But that's for a strike, though, rather than a...
Sure, yeah. Right? But, you know, that's kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is on saving throws as well, so it could be that one time when a really bad thing is about to happen.
I mean, halfling luck is a level 1 feat.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of...
Did I tell you all Lupin's like 1/8 halfling? So is Malachi.
The 16th link.
The human mongrel. Malachi's 1/8 everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1/8 crocodile.
I'm happy to make it 10 gold. I'm happy to make it 10 gold. 10 yeah. times your level, of course.
I think that at least...
I think that's fair.
That makes it usable.
Yeah. I don't want it to just be
also,
all that cool
we've also
thing
got to travel to there. You know, you've got a whole day's travel, you know, couple of days travel.
Yeah, but as you go up in levels, like travel becomes slightly less, you know, there are ways to get about much quicker than just having a nice jaunty walk. Anyone want to spend an hour now praying to the empty throne?
I'm just thinking about it.
420.
I mean, you're meditating on loss, so not a bad shout for
you. We're going to need something to sacrifice.
He gets rid of the theatre card.
No!
Did you loot the body before Milton took her away? Or
did I fuck? Well, I read that as... Sorry, what are we sacrificing? It could be anything, could it?
It could be an item worth 120 gold.
Yeah, it has to be valuables that are worth 120 gold or the equivalent gold amount. Yeah.
So I could just sacrifice 120 gold and...
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Wow, it is fitting, isn't it? A couple of days removed. Yes, Malachi will.
So we're stood on the shore Aaron has just manifested this throne that's appeared out of the waters.
Yep.
And I guess we all instinctively know what this thing does.
Sure.
So knowing that it's a place to go and meditate on loss, he's kind of looking at it and turns to Malachi and says, do you want to go?
Aaron, I would really want to go and do this right now.
And Aaron places his hand on Malachi's shoulder and casts fly.
Malachi looks to the sky and goes, look, Ma, I can fly.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
And he does a Superman pose.
And flies over to the empty throne.
He got over his dead mother quickly. Before he's even reached the throne, he just needed to go flying.
Malachi, you reach the steps that lead up to the empty throne, this stone altar that has appeared in the middle of the lake. You take out the 120 gold and place it in a small dish at the front of the throne. And you sit there and you meditate for an hour on the nature of loss, a perfect epitome for your current situation. Go ahead and roll me a DC 30 diplomacy check with any bonuses that you think you might be able to get.
Guidance will give me a +1 status bonus to attack rolls, perception checks, saving throws or a skill check.
Okay.
Give myself a +1.
Malachi, go ahead and roll your diplomacy check with a +1 from guidance as you meditate on the loss of Karen Bordello. Here we go.
I mean, I tried. I will use one of my hero points I rolled a 24, which was a natural 3.
Ah, oh, that is a fail. Okay, Malachi, hero point. Here we go. The gods are smiling on you.
Come on. Ooh, a 19 for a 41.
So that is a critical success, Malachi. The gold disappears and you feel this warm energy flow into you as you have successfully gained the benefit of a critical success, which means during the next month, you can re-roll a failed or critically failed saving throw as a fortune effect.
That's just once, yeah?
Just one.
Yep.
Malachi flies back to the group who are watching on from the beach, descends gently into the sand.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Head plants into the sand. Like those videos you see of kids doing backflips that have gone wrong on the beach. Those sort of ones.
Do I need to roll athletics? Yeah.
Probably just like emu head in the sand.
Yeah. As you extract Malachi from the sand, now with his new ability infused within him, it is but a short hop across the sand to get to the swamp area of the Harrow Court. Now, who has this card, which is the snake bite?
Malachi has a snake bite as well, currently.
From the difficult sand, wading through that into wading of a different kind through the swamplands of the Harrow Court. You arrive at the location that you feel the card pull you towards. Malachi, you draw the snake bite and you see a region of swampland that has become particularly infested with poisonous creatures and plants. And you see this appear in front of you.
Wow, look at that.
Now that you have epitomized the snake bite, a character who travels to this area can attempt a crafting, herbalism lore, swamp lore, or underworld lore check to attempt to harvest some of their chosen poison from the region while spending 8 hours there.
Ooh.
The DC of the check is equal to the poison saving throw DC. And unlike most materials from the Harrow Court, poison gathered from this part of the swamp continues to exist for a week before vanishing, even if it's brought out of the Harrow Court. On a crit success, you get 3 doses, a success 1, failure none, and crit fail, you will be exposed to the poison you are trying to seek. So there's some risk reward stuff there, right?
If you could, do you choose the poison?
Yes.
Yeah. Pick your poison.
So Lupin, I believe you have the crafting skill.
Yep, absolutely. Just trying to work out if we've got anyone with any method of actually delivering that poison.
You can coat the blade though, can't you?
You can, yeah.
Just you can coat blades
on some if it has the contact trait. I think it would need. Maybe it's one that you probably need to have a look through.
I'll do some digging into poisons and whether that's something that's going to be useful.
Yeah, so if it's got the injury trait, an injury poison is activated by applying it to a weapon or ammunition. So that could be a really cool one, Jason, for you to spend a bit of time in the swamp. So you could do it to ammo, get some doses on some bullets or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Put it on
the golden bullet from Aeron.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that is the third and final location that you needed to epitomize within the Harrow Court. As the sun goes down, you probably have to spend one more night out in the wilderness. Malachi perhaps feeling slightly better than he did a couple of days ago. You've got these new locations. You have got a couple of leads that you still need to follow. But more importantly, you have now reached level 13. As the party levels up, the curtain comes down! Hey.
You will now fight even more stronger creatures.
You've been listening to Describe Your Kill, The Death of Destiny. Find out more at describeyourkill.com. Thank you to Paizo, Michael Gelfi, Creator Chord, Sirenscape, Kevin McLeod, Foundry, and Sigil Services. Get all the links on our website. This podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc., used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. And just as a little afterthought to the episode, of course, we will be moving over to the remastered edition of Pathfinder 2nd Edition. Who knows what problems that will cause? But when we return, we will be going through level 13 upgrades and any key changes to the remastered characters. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.